Amen. So, Gary said last week we talked about the blood of Jesus, and as I was praying, where do we go? Where do we go with the next messages? Which I always do, and I just kept getting the power of the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood. And then I get the word, the power of the word, the power of His name. So, last week I had to fill out a list. We had a list, and you could fill out the 16. We talked about 16 things that Jesus' blood has accomplished for us. But I said, no way is that the whole list. We were just looking at some things, to kind of wrap our brain around what Jesus has done for us. What did He do on that cross? We need to know what those things are. So that list was not exhaustive. But I just want you to be able to look at it at a glance and see how powerful His blood really is. And we took communion last week. Okay, so we're talking about the blood. We may do communion again next week. I don't know. You know what? We can do it all the time. You can do it every day. You don't have to even come here to do it. You can do it in your home. Just grab some juice, grab a little cracker, and worship. You don't need to come in here. You can just do it on your own. I know Derek Prince. I think it was Derek Prince that said he and his wife take communion every day together. Every day together. Powerful. So when we take communion, Jesus told us in the Word to do it in remembrance of Him, right? Not in memory, in remembrance of Him. There is a difference. So we're to remember all that His blood accomplished. And we're supposed to be applying that blood to our situations, whatever we're facing, whether it's healing, whether it's a financial need, whether it's regarding if we need cleansing for any sin we may have committed recently, it's to remind us what His blood has done. And then we talked about how do we apply that blood today. We talked about how the Israelites applied the sacrificial lamb's blood onto the doorposts last week. Remember that? I actually want to go and I want to look at that. I want to read it. Can we look at it? If you need a Bible, we got Bibles in the back. You can help yourself. I want to go into Exodus 12. Exodus 12. I just want to actually look at it, read it for ourselves. This was the Passover that was instituted. This was the 10th plague. Remember, the Pharaoh just did not want to let the Israelites go. And this was the 10th plague. So God is instituting the Passover here. And I want to read chapter 12, verse 1, chapter 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it, according to the numbers of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on the night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head and with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Look down to verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, now Moses is giving the instruction to the people, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord, this is verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. So each house was supposed, they were supposed to slaughter, and he gave instructions on an unblemished lamb, 1 year old, how to be male, and collect that blood in a basin, okay? Then God tells him, take hyssop. Hyssop was like a shrub, grows about 3 feet tall. It was used in purification ceremonies. He told him, take hyssop and dip it in that blood in that basin and put it on the door frame, the tops of the door and on the sides. And God said that when he sees that blood, he will pass over that house, and the plague would not come, that tenth plague would not come to anyone in that house. But it would strike the firstborn of every one in Egypt, including the Pharaoh's house and also the animals. And that's exactly what happened. That was the tenth plague, and Pharaoh finally let them go. Because it hit his home. Here's the point I want to make about the blood. While that blood was sitting in the basin, it wasn't protecting anybody. It wasn't protecting anyone. It had to be applied exactly how God told them to apply it. It had to be applied that way. Otherwise, that blood sitting in the basin wasn't doing anything. You apply the blood. And then you stay in that house. You stay under that blood covering for protection. That involved obedience, right? I mean, they had to be obedient to what God said. Kathy, could you bring up our first, I think this is our, no, our second scripture. Second scripture, I think. Okay. Peter is writing a letter. 1 Peter 1:2. He's writing a letter to the elect. This is in parts of Asia Minor. They were suffering persecution because they were being obedient. But anyway, we're talking about obedience here. 1 Peter 1:2, to the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about obedience. What do we do with that blood? We need to be obedient to what God said. And so those Israelites had to apply the blood the way God had told them. And that blood was the Passover of the Passover lamb that had protected them. Okay. Now Paul said that Jesus is our Passover lamb. Kathy, do we have 1 Corinthians 5:7? Okay, this is the English Standard Version. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Jesus' blood was shed for us. And we saw a lot of that last week, what that blood accomplished in our teachings last week. They're available. You'll hear it on our website, and you can also order it. But what we're looking at is how do we get the full effects of what Jesus did on that cross? How do we get the full effects of his blood applied to our lives today? That's what we're talking about. So the second part of that message last week was how to apply that blood of Jesus where we need it, where we need protection, if we need healing, if we need provision or victory in any area. How do we get the blood? We've got the similar situation that the Israelites. How do you get the blood to the place where you need it? How do you get that blood? The scripture says we can overcome in every area. How do we get the blood? We overcome with the blood. So, Kathy, could you bring up Revelation 12:11? This is the scripture we looked at last week. And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It was the word of their testimony. So we overcome personally when we testify personally to what the word of God says the blood of Jesus did. That's how we overcome. We get the blood from the basin to where we need it today by our testimony. Okay? So we saw last week that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Kathy, can you bring that scripture up? Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. When we testify or make a confession, the way God tells us, that's to say the same things that God says. We need to say the same things that God says. We saw last week that Jesus is our mediator. He's our advocate. He's our high priest. But he can only advocate what we say. He's our high priest of our confession. He watches over what we say. He watches over the word to perform it. Okay? Jeremiah 1:12, Kathy? Got that one? This is the Amplified. The Lord says, I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. He watches over his word. Kathy, Isaiah 55:11, another powerful scripture. It's word of life. We're giving you the word, okay? It's just the word of God. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So if we want victory, we got to speak God's word out of our mouth, because Jesus watches over the word to perform it. Okay? God's word, his word will get the job done. All right? His word needs to be coming out of our mouth, and it will not return to the Father void, but we'll do the job. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And Kathy, could you go to Hebrews 4:14? Okay. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Ooh. We got to hold fast our confession? Why do you got to hold fast to something? It wants to get it slip away, doesn't it? So we want to hold fast our confession. Absolutely. Absolutely. Our confession, our testimony gives us the victory through the blood of Jesus. Okay, and we have to hold fast to that word and not move. Kathy, can you bring up Philippians 2:16? I'm just giving you a word. It's the word. It's the word. So Philippians 2:16 says that we are to hold fast the word of life. We're to hold fast the word of life. The word of life is God's word. Word of life. Why are we to hold fast to it? Scripture says that the word is a seed. It's a seed. And if you plant a seed and you water it and you take care of it, what do you get? A harvest. You get a harvest. All right, so Kathy, could you go to Romans 10:10? With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Whoa. Remember our notes from last week, the page you filled out? Salvation was number 6 on your list, if you remember that from last week. And what was that word salvation in Greek? Sozo. Sozo. Oh, you guys are good students. You're good. And we learned that sozo means a whole lot more than you know. I mean, thank God it means salvation. And you know, we're going to heaven when we die. If you're born again, okay. But it also means preservation, deliverance, health, healing, prosperity, forgiveness, protection, wholeness, victory. It's a wow word. It is awesome. So with the mouth, we're talking about our words today. We're talking about confession. Our confession is made unto salvation. Okay. When God gave the Israelites directions about placing the lamb's blood over their doorposts, he gave instructions. He instructed them, if you remember reading it, he instructed it to eat all of it. Eat all of the sacrifice. Likewise, God wants us to receive all that our sacrificial lamb did for us. Receive everything. Salvation, meaning we're going to heaven when we die. If you're born again, yes. But there's so much more. Receive it all. All. There's healing. There's protection. There's deliverance. Receive it all. Eat it all. Take it all. And we saw, pardon? No. Woo! No leftovers. We take it all. We eat it all. And we found out last week that we were priests, right?
Yeah.
We're priests. So what do priests do? They apply the blood. We are to apply the blood to our own situations. Okay, we saw that Jesus' blood made us kings and priests last week. That was number 12 on your list. So if we use this Romans 10:10, okay, we can say also here that with the mouth, confession is made unto healing. Mm-hmm. We can say with the mouth, confession is made unto deliverance. Yeah. With the mouth, confession is made unto protection, prosperity, completion, wholeness. With the mouth, it's with the mouth. It's confessing. It has to be spoken, and so we need to be obedient. We need to be obedient to do it the way God says. Okay, we submit to what He says, not to do it the way we think or someone else thinks it should be done. It's what does the Word say? So He's the high priest of our confession, and He watches over what we say. Okay. Last week, if you remember, I shared a testimony. It was Ken Copeland's testimony. I borrow that a lot because I love it. It's so awesome. You know, I shared, you know, y'all know who Ken Copeland is in here?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So he awesome minister of God. And so he had an ailment hit his body, attack his body, and he was applying the word to his situation. By His stripes, I am healed. By His stripes, I am healed. He kept confessing that over and over again. By His stripes, I am healed. What He was doing when He was saying that, He was applying the blood to Him, to His situation. He was applying the blood by confessing. He was confessing what Jesus did on that cross. By His stripes, I am healed. Okay? He was actually quoting Isaiah 53:5. That says, could you bring up Isaiah 53:5, Kathy? Do we have that? Ah, yes. But He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. Last week, we looked at that verse in great detail. We had handouts, and someone said, oh, I love the handouts. They like having handouts, so I have another one for you today. But So those handouts are important. But we also looked at verse 4 last week, and we found that healing was in the atonement for our physical bodies. I have those handouts from the back table. If you weren't here, didn't get them, they're back there, so you can take a look at them. So Ken Copeland was applying the blood of Jesus to his situation, and he was confessing it out of his mouth. He said, "By his stripes, I am healed." I don't remember the exact number that he said when he gave that testimony, but it was like something like 355 times. It was a lot of times, okay? That's how you apply the sacrificial blood of the Lamb today. This is the question that I have. If Ken is a Christian, and he is, and he's confessing the Word of God, he's blood bought. He's a Christian, right? He's applying the blood to his situation. Why wasn't he healed the first time he said it? Why wasn't he healed the first time he said it? Or why wasn't he healed the fifth time he said it? Or why wasn't he healed? Why wasn't that manifestation there the 100th time that he said it? Why wasn't the manifestation there the 200th time he said it? Okay? To find that answer, we have to look at the rest of Romans 10:10. Kathy, could you bring it up? This is the answer to that question. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That scripture says we got to believe it in our heart and say it with our mouth. That's how you got born again. Those of you who are born again, that's how you got born again. You believed Jesus was the Son of God. And he took your sins and you spoke it. So for 355 times, Ken Copeland confessed that word over himself. He was believing it in his mind. That's called mental. He was mentally assenting that the Word of God is true. He was believing the word was true. But the difference came on that 356th time when that word that he believed dropped into his heart. And he knew that he knew that he knew that belonged to him. That's when the power of God shot through his body. That's called Bible faith. That's called Bible faith, guys. That's when the healing power was released from his spirit and knocked out all that stuff that he was dealing with. This isn't magic. It's just the way God says it works. So we have to be obedient and do it the way he says, right? This is how we apply the blood. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we have to say what God says in his word because he watches over his word to perform it, okay? What would have happened if about the, 50th or the 100th time, Ken would have said, you know what? I keep confessing and confessing this word and nothing is happening. And he would have quit. What would have happened? Nothing. Nothing. Yep. Nothing. No power would have been released for his healing. Hebrews 4:14 says that we need to hold fast to our confession. And not what it looks like, feels like, smells like, or tastes like. We hold on to that confession, knowing that God said it's true. It's true. We cannot waver. We can't have any doubt. No doubting. If we do waver, there's no healing. There's no manifestation. Kathy, could you go to James 1, verse 6? I'm going to do 6 to 8. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. No doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Do we have 7 and 8 up there? For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So we have to be singly minded. Only what God says. Only what he says. So, you know, last week we talked about the power of the blood. This week we're talking about the power of words. The power of words. The power of God's word spoken out of our mouth and believed in our heart. That's our testimony. That's our confession. Kathy, could you go to Matthew 12:37? Jesus said this, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Words are powerful. They're powerful. They're more important than people think. Words can make or break us. They're powerful. They can heal us, or they can make us sick. Words are powerful. You know, do you ever remember that catchy little phrase that we used to say when we were kids? You know, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words or names will never hurt me. That's a lie. That's a lie, because words can hurt worse than sticks and stones. Words can hurt. There is such a need for inner healing ministry. That's what we're raising up in our church. There's such a need for inner healing ministry because people have been hurt by words. They've accepted lies. And those things held them in bondage. So words are important. We can speak life or death over ourselves, over others, over situations. So life and death are in the power of the tongue. Kathy, can you bring up Proverbs 18:21? Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love the word will eat its fruit. Every word that comes out of your mouth produces fruit, either good or bad. But God tells us what kind of words. We can choose our words, what kind of words to choose. He says, choose life. Speak life, not death. That's Deuteronomy 30:19. So we can choose the words we speak and change the course, whatever it is we're dealing with, whatever we're facing. James said it like this. He said, like a tiny rudder, like a tiny rudder on a ship can change the course of that ship. That's James 3:4-6. It's our choice. And Kathy, could you go to Mark 11:23? This is Jesus speaking. "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." That scripture has "say" or "says" in it four times. You think God's trying to tell us something? Whoa, 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 whoa. Very, very important. We need to speak the word of God, keep our words in alignment with God, and believe it in our heart to see that come to pass. This is Charles Capps. I have a quote from Charles. Anyone know Charles Capps? Okay. Listen to what Charles had to say. Listen to this. It's so powerful, so powerful. "God's word that is conceived in your heart, then formed by the tongue and spoken out of your mouth, becomes a spiritual force that releases the ability of God within you." I'm going to repeat it again. Yes. It's powerful. Yes. "God's word that is conceived in your heart, then formed by your tongue and spoken out of your mouth, becomes a spiritual force that releases the ability of God within you." We have to use our words effectively. We have to choose our words. We can speak life or we can speak death. Those words can hold us in bondage. If you say you can do it, you can. And if you say you can't do it, you can't. You won't rise above your confession. Both of those confessions are right. You will have what you say. So we need to say what God says. Okay, I'm going to look at something briefly, and then we'll continue the rest because we're running out of time here. You know, Ken Copeland, he got what he said, and he kept on saying it. He was holding fast to his confession 356 times until he saw the manifestation. That was when his heart grabbed hold of the truth, his heart. So that's a modern day example, okay? But I want to look at scripture and look, I want to look at a couple of them. We're going to look at just one today. We'll look at the rest next week, okay? So I just want to look at one of my favorite scriptures is the one with the issue of blood, okay? So can you go in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5? We'll look at that and then we'll look at the rest next week because we're running out of time. But for those of you here, I want you to see it. See it yourself. I know this stuff might sound a little different or strange to you if you've never heard it before. But it works if we work it. Okay, so I'm going to pick it up in verse 25. Mark 5:25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. 12 years. Can you imagine that, ladies? 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? But he looked around and to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Wow, that was powerful. You know, that woman was in a predicament, wasn't she? She was dealing with something that those doctors couldn't help her with. Can anybody relate to any of that? In here, for sure. And they took all of her money. Can anyone relate to that? You go to doctors. Oh, yeah, okay. But she heard about, she heard something about healing with Jesus for her to have faith to believe that she could receive from him if she touched his garment. So, you know, she had to have heard something because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She had to hear, right? She heard. And the scripture says she heard about Jesus. And then she acted on what she heard. She put some feet to that thing, and she ventured out in that crowd, which that in itself was pretty amazing, because she was unclean. You don't go, you stay away from people. You know, you don't go into a crowd. An unclean person was to avoid others, the exposure to others. And they're, you know, supposed to warn people about themselves. So she could have been treated really harshly. But I want to look again. What did she say? Kathy, we have this up there. Mark 5:28. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. That's the New King James Version, but I want to read it to you in the Amplified. Oh, you got it. Read it. Read it. Read it, Joe. What does it say? Read it. Read it. Woo.
For she kept saying, she kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. Yeah. I shall be well. She kept saying.
She kept saying. Thank
she
you.
She received her manifestation.
Yeah. Ken Copeland kept saying. He kept saying. He held fast his confession. we gotta do likewise, guys, no matter what it looks like or smells like or feels like. For she kept saying, if only I touch his clothes. And that flow immediately stopped. She felt it. You know, she felt it. And so that's when the power was released. What she said was her faith speaking. Her faith was speaking that out. That's what she was believing in her heart. And we know that because she acted on what she believed. She actually followed through on that, even though their law said she wasn't supposed to be there. Okay? That could have, you know, caused her some problems. But she was in faith. Jesus said in verse 34, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." So our actions, what we do, it's an indicator of what we're believing, our actions. In fact, the Bible says that without actions, we got dead faith. So Kathy, can you bring up James 2:17? James 2:17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, if it does not have actions, is dead faith. We have to have corresponding action. And just a few verses later, James 2:20 says, faith without works is dead. So we not only need to believe the word of God, but if we're believing it, if we're truly believing it, we will be acting. We will follow through. Faith without... That's it.
What you just said, Kenny. I just want a clarification on the Mark 5:28. So she was saying, if only I touched him, I will be healed. Mm-hmm. But he said, no, by your faith you were healed. So she was healed actually before she touched him?
Well, I think the touch, that's when activated Jesus...
it.
I think that was the point of contact, and that's when Jesus said he felt the power. That's when the power was released. She pulled on that power. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yep, that was faith. That was faith in action.
She was already
yes. Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. She said, yep. She said, if I only touch him, which is to say, she said, so the command was there. Faith yep. is following instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So she touched his garment and she received her healing because she followed the instructions.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so I'm going to finish here. Kathy, could we bring up James 2:22? Do you see that faith working together with works, and by works, faith is made perfect? James, and just a few verses later, 2:24 says, you see that then that a man is justified by works or actions and not by faith only. That's powerful. That is real powerful. So when we're truly believing something, our actions will line up with what we're saying. The blood, the word, the name, all powerful.